Mildred was introduced to Singh, the thin, hairy, dark woman who was Magog's chief medic, in the antechamber of what she was by now not surprised to discover was a small but immaculate and well-appointed surgery, all gleaming stainless steel.
You're actually a doctor? How is that possible?
I'm a healer. I was trained by a knowledgeable old man.
Well, I guess I'm lucky to have you. After the raid, I need all the hands I can get.
Looking past the woman to where a group of people in pale green scrubs were prepping a patient, Mildred was startled to recognize an erstwhile member of the traveler's caravan on the steel table.
You treating the laborers?
They're human beings, aren't they?
I'm just surprised you are.
What was that?
I recently watched your men gun down 24 men, women, and children just because they weren't fit to work on the track.
The medic nodded grimly. Then, glancing over her shoulder to make sure no one was in earshot, she leaned her head close to Mildred's.
Don't expect anything that happens on this train to make any kind of sense. That way you might keep some semblance of sanity.
Ease up there, friend. I ain't got enough hair to have you going and doing that.
Leo's blue eyes were watery, but determined behind the lenses of his safety glasses. He said nothing. The blaster didn't waver by a thousandth of an inch.
Your M9 Beretta, called the Model 92 for the civilian market, that's an S there with the slide-mounted safety. And I'm rad-blasted if I know why they thought that was an improvement over mounting it on the frame. Had one particular vulnerability.
Almost casually, JB reached up and laid a hand over the top of the blaster. His index finger punched the magazine release, spitting the magazine onto the floor. His thumb pressed the takedown lever release on the right side of the frame, just in front of the trigger guard. His third finger pushed down the takedown lever itself. The three motions flowed one into the other with precise, practiced speed. Then he pulled the slide assembly with barrel and recoil spring forward right off the weapon, leaving Leo holding nothing but the frame.
Which happened to be that you could take one apart while it was pointed at you, if you knew what you were doing.
Leo turned up his free hand and opened it. JB dropped the blaster parts into it. The chief armorer worked the muscles of his face. It looked like a giant trying to crack his own knuckles one-handed.
You'll do for now, you smug son of a bitch. I'll probably kill you in the morning.
The wind stirred dry, silver-gray tufts of buffalo grass. Though winter was near its end and the days were warm, the brief but furious spring rains hadn't brought the first hints of green to the land, which were about all the green this land ever got. The grass tickled Christie's nose as she lay on the red sandstone caprock rim of a low mesa with her nose stuck in the clump. She was watching the rail line that lay below. She'd been following it for 2 days now. Rather, she was watching the now dirt road that ran alongside it. Four vehicles rolled east, two open scout wags and two pickups filled with sec men and their long blasters. In the passenger seat of the lead dune buggy rode the youthful captain who had overseen the massacre, metal breastplate gleaming, face shining like a young god's. Christie's muscles and belly squirmed with the desire to sight down one of the M16 long blasters she had relieved the deserters of, draw a bead on that fine young head, end that brief but oh so destructive life with a spinning needle-nosed bullet. She forced herself to lie still. The range was 200 yards at least, not an easy shot. The M16 was capable of accuracy over surprisingly long ranges, but this one had only iron sights, and its light bullets were susceptible to the treacherous desert wind over distance. And Christie wasn't the marksman Ryan had been, to say the least. Even if she had known beyond doubt her bullet would trephine that dark-haired skull, let air and sunlight in and life out, she wouldn't have taken the shot. Yes, the captain had to die. She had to kill him, or at least be the cause of his death, even if her finger didn't pull the trigger or her hand plunged the blade. But he was just one among many. A significant one, but a mere one. To claim his life would risk throwing her life away, with her friends still unrescued, and the bulk of her blood debt unpaid. She wouldn't do that. So she watched them drive out of sight, unmolested. Intuition told her they were heading back to the massacre site, to the rim above Ryan's unmarked resting place, a mile toward the center of the earth. Why they might be bound there, she couldn't say. It didn't matter, and speculation was no part of her nature in any event. She let all the thought of whys and wherefores slip from her mind. She was aware of the fact that patrols from the railwag were out and about, with at least one all but certain to be heading back along this road at any time. There were also the Coldhearts the two deserters had been looking to join. She rose up from her hiding place, moved a little ways around the end of the mesa, then began to pick her way down slope, where a finger of red stone would hide her from view from the road. She had plenty of food, mostly jerky and MREs, and water. She'd be okay for a few more days. After that, if she hadn't accomplished her mission... No, there could be only her quest. Worry, fear, anticipation... These could only weaken the resolve she needed to keep her weary legs driving her relentlessly on. Forcing all conscious thought from her mind, forcing herself to concentrate solely on her footing and awareness of her surroundings, Christy picked her way down the slope toward the desert floor.
Still nothing?
No sign of the woman at the place where the civilian convoy was detained. The patrol has spent the last day searching outward in a widening spiral. The only thing of any note that Captain Helton has reported...
That was a very necessary touch, Hubertus thought, emphasizing that if there were any blame to be spewed about for the failure to fulfill the general's whim for the red-haired woman, his very own fair-haired boy, Captain Mark Helton, stood squarely to catch much of it. Which, of course, was why he ensured the boy was put in charge of the expedition.
Was the discovery en route to the site of the bodies of the two men who vanished a week ago? They seem to have deserted, as we surmised. They had been shot and looted and left behind the ruins of a gas station. A concentration of crows and vultures drew the scouts' attention to their corpses.
Jackson and Price. A disappointment. They came from good families, those boys. I expected more of them. Not as good as Mark's family, of course, but plenty good for enlisted men. Not your usual delinquents who turn into cold hearts. Mark my words, Hubertus. There's nothing more important than family. That's what shapes a man's character, gives it content.
Good thing the general didn't know his family, the intel chief thought. Although, given the nature of the task Hubertus performed for the chief, he realized, that might not be strictly so.
Captain Helton speculates the Cold Heart Horde caught them and killed them. I fear that is almost certainly the fate that has befallen the Roth woman as well. I must state as my considered opinion that she's dead.
The general sat in silence, scratching his chin. Hubertus stood braced and tried not to quake. A drop of sweat tickled his thin neck on its way down into his Nehru collar. He wasn't a coward, but he knew the danger he was in.
Bring them in.
Your Excellency?
Bring them back. Call in the patrol.
Without the woman, sir?
They don't have her, do they? What kind of a cockamamie question? Oh, I see. You're afraid I'm disappointed. More to the point, you're afraid I'll blame you. Listen here, old man. When I was a child, there was a man in our ville who had an old television, a DVD player, and slaves to ride fixed bicycle generators to power them. He used to charge people to watch his vid collection. That was where he got the money for the slaves. We watched all these videos from before the war, and the ones I liked best were the ones with lots of action. Blasters firing, explosions with bodies flying everywhere. Big surprise, right? But one thing always puzzled me. The villain in these old vids was always chilling his own henchmen. Sometimes just for the sheer spite of it. I know now it was to show the audience just what a bastard bad guy he was, but what I couldn't figure out was why anybody would work for someone like that. Why didn't his goons run off the second they were out of sight?
If Hubertus were the boss in question, it would be because he'd hunt them down and chill them in various horrible protracted ways, and their families too. But Hubertus kept his peace.
Now, you know I've got no patience with incompetence, Hubertus, and a lot less with disloyalty. I know you think I've turned into a big old mushmelon because I'm not letting you torture our star new recruits. But I've never been one to shrink from a good drumhead court-martial, nor standing the guilty up against a wall immediately afterward. And you know that for a fact. But hell, I know. Finding this red-headed she-devil was a pipe dream. It was never that important in the first place. Nothing at all in comparison to grabbing the brass ring.
You know what I'm talking about, Hubertus.
Yes, Your Excellency. I do.
The track repairs are done. We're ready to roll. And I could have every soul aboard this train out searching until the sun burned out without turning up a missing party, even if she didn't jump in the ditch or wind up playing R&R for about 100 plaguer cold hearts. It goes without saying anything that could be done, you and Mark have done. I try never to blame a body for not doing the impossible. Dead or fled, we can't screw around with her any longer. Radio Helton and tell him to haul ass back here. We'll roll the moment his wags are secured.
And the laborers, sir?
Oh. We'll leave them the water that's in the tower we built for the compound and some MREs.
You're letting them go?
Yeah.
The general had already turned away and had picked up a sheaf of handwritten reports.
As Your Excellency wishes.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.